RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Government stands firm as Freeport threatens to cut production. Government seeking ways to finance LRT projects. Now the news in detail. The government of Indonesia seems too set to ignore threats by United States mining giant Freeport McMoRan to cut production at its Papuan mine and slash its local workforce if it does not receive a permit to continue exporting copper concentrate by the middle of the month. Last month, the government relaxed the ban on mineral export so long as miners still in possession of a contract worth COW compared it to a special mining permit. IUPK, Freeport Indonesia, the mining giant's local unit, has not complied, according to Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry. The Minister of Mineral and Coal Director General Bambang Gatot Aryono said on Monday that not one mine firm had submitted an official application to compare to IUPK. He said that the ministry has not given Freeport Indonesia an export permit because, as stipulated by Ministerial Decree No. 5/2017 and No. 6/2017, if the company has not submitted a proposal and has not fulfilled the requirement. The government of Indonesia is looking for ways to resume the light rapid transit project that is hampered by financial issues. However, solutions to the issue had not been apparent, although the government has held a limited meeting at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said after the meeting that the government will hold another meeting to discuss the project's financing scheme. Under the presidential regulation on the light rapid transit, the project must be developed using funds from the state budget. However, it was later discovered that the project value was too huge to be fully financed by the state budget. For instance, the cost of a light rapid transit project development in Palembang, South Sumatra is estimated to cost 12 trillion rupiah or around $902.2 billion. In addition, the light rapid transit project for Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, and Bekasi is estimated to cost 22 trillion rupiah or around $1.6 billion. Technological advancement is believed to have changed the style of a public in receiving information disseminated by the media. Chairman of Exhibition Committee of National Press Day 2017, Adi Trisnando, said in Ambon, Maluku on Monday, the media today should be able to provide information that is shorter but dense to people who impede have high activity in their daily activities. He also stated that the media people should be able to follow the changing lifestyle of the people in receiving information and follow the trend of technological advancement.
Karena masyarakat makin lama makin instan, contohnya yang terjadi.
Because now the society's life is instant, for example, the newspaper will not be read line by line again, but just read the title. Then if we look at the digital media, social media, and so always use short sentences, maybe it will be one of the characteristics of our media. How to present information to the public? If you want a long-winded, I think the present generation does not like it that way. Furthermore, Adi Trisnando also encourages the media industry to get closer to the community. It can be done by introducing a process of presenting information to the public. He also views that efforts to draw closer to the public through the introduction process of presenting information is believed to be able to eliminate the distance between public and the media as well as as control tool for truth and balance in the information disseminated. Sinar Mas Land, the holding company of Indonesia, plans to start construction on the first building in the Smart City project claimed to be Indonesian Silicon Valley in the second half of this year. The project is located in its signature township of Bumi Serpondame, BSD City, in Tangerang, Banten. Sinar Mas Land Managing Director Doni Rahajo said on Monday that the company is currently drafting the technical design for the first building. The building will be part of a digital hub property development built on 25.86-hectare site set to become home to IT-based companies, research center, software developers, computer designer and animation video production companies. The digital hub will be worth around 3.2 trillion rupiah, around $240 million in investment, and expected to be completed in 2020. It will also be the center of smart city development of BSD City, which will be an urban development on the outskirts of Jakarta. Executive Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDED, Eni Sri Hartati, said in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesian economy in the first quarter of this year will grow at slower pace than in the previous quarter when it expanded 4.94%. He said that the decline in the first quarter growth will be triggered by inflation from administered fees prices, which will put public consumption under pressure. She also said the government's policy to raise prices simultaneously will curb household consumption, which is the key component of the national economic growth. In January 2017, the government raised fees on vehicle ownership documents, locally called BPKB, and vehicle registration document, STNK, electricity tariffs, and fuel oil prices. The Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises projected that state enterprises' assets to reach 7,035 trillion rupiah in 2017, and around 11.22% increase compared to last year's figure, around 6,325 trillion rupiah. Data from the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry as Monday of February 6 shows that the projected state-owned enterprises asset in 2016 increased by 9.8% compared to 5,760 trillion rupiah in 2015. The data revealed that asset growth was, among others, helped by improved state-owned companies' investment, which were funded by State Capital Investment, PMN. The projected assets of state-owned enterprises in 2016 were higher than the government initial target of around 5,632 trillion rupiah. Meanwhile, state-owned enterprises' liabilities are projected to hit 4,643 trillion rupiah in 2017, or an increase compared to last year's projected liabilities of 4,091 trillion rupiah. As such, the Palwins are Indonesia's top 10 state-owned enterprises by asset in 2016. The last item, Pakistani orange, kino, consignment has started arriving in Jakarta. The fruits are being sold daily in all major grocery markets in Indonesia. Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia Muhammad Agil Nadem, in a press release which was received on Monday, said that Pakistani kino made entry into Indonesian market on New Year and China's New Year to make them more joyous occasion. He also noted last year Pakistan's export of kino to Indonesia reached $23 million, and this amount was expected to grow significantly in 2017. Kino is a variety of citrus fruit cultivated extensively in Sargodha region out Punjab province in Pakistan. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Regional Head Election and Money Politics. The political climate in several regions in Indonesia is heating up ahead of a simultaneous regional head election on February 15, 2017. Certainly, the pairs of candidates of regional head and deputy regional head are trying hard to win this election. They have sacrificed their energy, time, and material in a bid to win the election in the provincial, municipal, and district levels. In the election, the contestants, sympathizers, and cadre even voters frequently commit violations. One thing that frequently happens during the election is the practice of money politics. The National Election Supervisory Board, Bawaslu, as the election organization agency in charge of overseeing the implementation of election in Indonesia, said that money politics still potentially happens in 2017 election held simultaneously in 101 regions across Indonesia. Money politics is an attempt to influence others by using rewards. It can also be interpreted as a vote buy-in in the political process, an act of distributing money or goods to lure voters. This kind of violation is generally done by sympathizers, cadres, or even political party leaders ahead of the D-Day of the election. The practice of money politics in the election could lead to corruption. Only candidates with big funds can carry out a massive campaign to popularize and attract the public to vote for the candidate. Meanwhile, candidates with limited funds, even if qualified, will not be recognized by the public. It could be that after winning the election, the winning candidate in the election will try to regain the funds that had been spent during the campaign with various ways. Clearly, money politics is not only a violation of the election but also an electoral crime, because these practices have taken away the rights and dignity of the citizens. Law number 10/2016 on the regional election states that those who give and receive money in the election can be prosecuted. Hopefully, the election supervisory body Bawaslu can supervise the elections well for the implementation of a clean, honest, and fair simultaneous regional head election, which is free from money politics. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 1819. Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles leaves Singapore after just taking it over, leaving it in the hands of William Farquhar. Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles, who was born on July 6, 1781 and died on July 5, 1826, was a British statesman, governor of British Java from 1811 until 1815, and governor general of Bengkulen or Bengkulu Nowlis from 1817 until 1822. Best known for his founding of Singapore, he was also heavily involved in the conquest of the Indonesian island of Java from Dutch and French military forces during the Napoleonic Wars and contributed to the expansion of the British Empire. He was also an amateur writer and wrote a book titled The History of Java in 1817. Raffles declared the foundation of what was to become modern Singapore on February the 6th, securing the transfer of control of the island to the East India Company. Farquhar was officially named the resident of Singapore, as Raffles was named as agent to the most noble, the Governor General, with the states of Rio, or Riau Island nowadays, Lingin and Johor. Although ownership of the post was to be exclusively British, explicit orders were given to Farquhar to maintain free passage of ships through the Strait of Singapore, and a small military presence was established alongside the trading post. After issuing orders to Farquhar and the remaining Europeans, Raffles left the next day, February 7, 1819. Next is from 1986, 28 years of one family rule in Haiti, when President Jean-Claude Duvalier flees the Caribbean nation ended. Jean-Claude Duvalier, nicknamed Baby Doc, was the president of Haiti from 1971 until his overthrow by a popular uprising in 1986. He succeeded his father, François Papa Doc Duvalier, as the ruler of Haiti after the latter's death in 1971. After assuming power, he introduced some cosmetic changes to his father's regime and delegated much authority to his advisors, though thousands of Haitians were killed or tortured, and hundreds of thousands fled the country. He maintained a notoriously lavish lifestyle, including a state-sponsored $2 million wedding in 1980 and made millions from involvement in the drug trade and from selling body parts from dead Haitians, while poverty among his people remained the most widespread of any country in the Western Hemisphere. And last is something from 1935, the classic board game Monopoly is invented. Monopoly is a board game that originated in the United States in 1903 as a way to demonstrate that an economy which rewards wealth creation is better than one in which monopolists work under few constraints, and to promote the economic theories of Henry George and, in particular, his ideas about taxation and women's rights. The current version was first published by Parker Brothers in 1935. Subtitled The Fast Dealing Property Trading Game, the game is named after the economic concept of monopoly, the domination of a market by a single entity. Since the board game was first commercially sold in the 1930s, it has become a part of popular world culture, having been locally licensed in more than 103 countries and printed in more than 37 languages. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to see you in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's focus is that Indonesia and South Korea enhance cooperation. Indonesia and South Korean governments in Jakarta on Monday held the first meeting of high working Libra Strategy Dialogue, chaired by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Yen Fashir and Deputy South Korean Foreign Minister Lim Son Nam. The meeting was aimed at strengthening bilateral relations between Indonesia and South Korea as the implementation of result of Indonesian President Joko Widodo's state visit to South Korea in 2016. The agenda of the meeting covered bilateral relations of defense, economic, social, cultural, consular and labor cooperation. The delegation of the two countries also discussed views on strategy issues at regional and global levels concerning the interests of both countries. South Korea is a strategic cooperation partner for Indonesia. It is the sixth biggest trading partner and the ninth largest contributor of foreign investment to Indonesia in 2016. The Indonesian government also continues to encourage South Korean business people to enhance investment in infrastructure, energy, and food security. After the meeting, Yen Fashir said the governments of Indonesia and South Korea would continue to work on the manufacture of jet fighter KF-X/IFX. However, this cooperation should wait for the license agreement from the United States. Earlier, Indonesian Defense Minister Riamisharia Chudu said that Indonesia will rely on its air defense fighter KF-X/IFX made in conjunction with South Korea in the next 5 years. Indonesia and South Korea in January 2016 signed a deal worth $23 billion for the development of new fighter jets. Based on an agreement signed with Korean Aerospace Industry, KIA, the Minister of Defense, Indonesia will invest around 1.6 trillion won, about 13 trillion rupiah, in Korean-Indonesian fighter experimental program. The second meeting of the high-working Libra Strategy Dialogue between Indonesia and South Korea will be held in South Korea in 2019. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The government of Indonesia seems to set to ignore threats by United States mining giant Freeport-McMoRan Incorporation to cut production at its Papuan mine and slash its local workforce if it does not receive a permit to continue exporting copper concentrate by the middle of the month. The government is looking for ways to resume the light rapid transit project that is hampered by financial issues. However, a solution to the issue had not been apparent, although the government has held a limited meeting at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday. Technological advancement is believed to have changed the style of the public in receiving information disseminated by the media. Chairman of the Exhibition Committee of National Press Day 2017, Adi Trisnando, said in Ambon, Maluku on Monday that media today should be able to provide information that is shorter but dense to people who impede high activity in their daily activities. Cedar Mas Land, the holding company of Indonesia, plans to start construction on the first building in a smart city project claimed to be Indonesian Silicon Valley in the second half of this year. Executive Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEP, Enisri Hartati, said in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesia's economy in the first quarter of this year will grow at a slower pace than in the previous quarter when it expanded 4.94%. The Indonesia Minister of State-Owned Enterprises projected that state-owned enterprises assets to reach 7,035 trillion rupiah in 2017, or 11.22% increase compared to last year's figure around 6,325 trillion rupiah. Pakistani orange kino consignment had started arriving in Jakarta. The products are being sold daily in all major grocery markets in Indonesia. Pakistani ambassador to Indonesia, Muhammad Akil Nadent, in a press release which was received on Monday, said that Pakistani kino make entry Indonesia market on New Year and Chinese New Year to make them more joyous occasion. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder. Today's edition, we will invite you to a culinary tour in Aceh to taste mie caluek, so stay tuned. Listeners, Aceh people are known with food lovers. We can see from a lot of places to eat and restaurants. All of the foods that they offered are appetizing. Aceh culinary is usually combined with various cultures from Arab, India, Thailand, Spain, China, and Holland. But the most affected are from Arabic and Indian cuisine, which use a lot of herbs and spices. So, if one day you visit Aceh, try to taste some of typical Aceh culinaries. If you are a noodle lover, you probably want to taste mie caluek or caluek noodle. Listener, caluek noodle is a typical culinary of PD and the regions of North Coast Aceh. Noodle, which is usually used as a basic ingredient mie caluek, is mie lidi, where the shape of the noodle is bigger than the common noodle. No wonder if caluek noodle is also called Aceh spaghetti. Although there is also mie caluek that made from bihun, or a type of noodle made of rice, or mie kuning, or yellow noodle. The making process of the noodle is pretty unique. If muesli noodle are cooked immediately when we buy it, but from caluek noodle, both noodle, seasoning, and complementary are made at home by the trader, when it will be sold all or done and ready to be served. The trader is just taking the noodle and the complementary and serves it on the plate. So the buyer needs no wait too long, just a couple of minutes, a plate of a caluek noodle are ready to eat. That's why this culinary called caluek noodle. Caluek in Aceh language means put the hand on a plate. Thank you. Listener, if you want to buy mee chalwek, remember there is four kinds of mee chalwek that you can take with your taste. There is a mee chalwek with nut seasoning, mee chalwek with urap or various stew vegetable with grated coconut and seasoning, mee chalwek with tofu and tempeh or soybean cake. Then the sauce. There is a sauce with a smooth chili or nut seasoning which gives a sensation of savory and delicious. While there is also a sauce with nuts with broth of vegetable. After you take a type of mee chalwek that you like, the trader will serve it added with grated coconut and red white keropok. Listener, because the food comes from PD, you can only find the most delicious mee chalwek with an original taste is certainly in PD, especially in Grong Grong. However, it's not hard to find a mee chalwek trader. They are usually sell the food at a roadside, market or in crowded places. In addition, to sell mee chalwek with a chart, some traders are selling at the top of a pickup car, on the table in front of the stores, and may also have a small kiosk. About the price, this traditional culinary is relatively cheap, which is around 5,000 up to 10,000 per pack. Listeners, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder entitled Mee Chalwek. We will meet again tomorrow with many interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli perlengkapan orang sakit, or in English, buying equipment for the sick, or maybe hospital equipment. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Membeli. Membeli in English, to buy. Perlengkapan, perlengkapan, equipment. Orang sakit, the sick or sick people. Pulang, pulang, to go home. Kantor, kantor, office. Hari ini, today. Pergi kemana, where are you going or where do you go? Pasar, pasar, market. Kakak perempuan, elder sister. Sakit, sakit, sick or ill. Berbaring di tempat tidur, bedridden. Mengapa, mengapa, why? Karena, because. Pusat penjualan, trade center. alat-alat kesehatan, alat-alat kesehatan, health equipment, obat-obatan, obat-obatan, medicines, potongan harga, discount, popok dewasa, adult diaper, alas tidur, bed pads, tisu basah, wet tissue, sarung tangan, gloves, mandi, mandi, to have a wash, masker, masker, mask, naik motor, riding motorcycle. Next is a conversation on membeli perlengkapan orang sakit, or in English, buying equipment for the sick. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rita and Anna at the office. Anna, maaf hari ini kita tidak bisa pulang kantor bersama. Anna, maaf hari ini kita tidak bisa pulang kantor bersama. In English, Anna, I'm sorry, today we cannot go home together from the office. Kamu mau pergi kemana? Kamu mau pergi kemana? Where are you going? Saya mau ke Pasar Pramuka. Saya mau ke Pasar Pramuka. I'm going to Pramuka Market. Saya mau membeli perlengkapan untuk kakak perempuan saya yang sedang sakit. Saya mau membeli perlengkapan untuk kakak perempuan saya yang sedang sakit. I want to buy some equipment for my sick bigger sister. Dia harus berbaring di tempat tidur. Dia harus berbaring di tempat tidur. She is bedridden. Mengapa harus di Pasar Pramuka? Mengapa harus di Pasar Pramuka? Why Pramuka Market? Pasar Pramuka adalah pusat penjualan alat-alat kesehatan dan obat-obatan. Pasar Pramuka adalah pusat penjualan alat-alat kesehatan dan obat-obatan. Pramuka Market is the center for health equipment and medicines. Kalau membeli banyak, kita bisa mendapatkan potongan harga. Kalau membeli banyak, kita bisa mendapatkan potongan harga. If you buy in bulk, you'll get a discount. Kamu mau membeli apa saja? Kamu mau membeli apa saja? What are you going to buy there? Saya mau membeli popok dewasa, alas tidur, tisu basah untuk memandikan, dan juga masker. Saya mau membeli popok dewasa, alas tidur, tisu basah untuk memandikan, dan juga masker. I'm buying some adult diapers, bed pads, wet tissue for washing, and also mask. Bolehkah saya ikut dengan kamu? Bolehkah saya ikut dengan kamu? Can I come with you? Saya juga mau membeli masker untuk naik motor. Saya juga mau membeli masker untuk naik motor. I also want to buy some mask for riding motorcycle. Tentu saja boleh. Tentu saja boleh. Of course you can. Baiklah, sampai nanti. Baiklah, sampai nanti. Okay, see you later then. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back again with me, Ajeng, in our segment of Music Corner. In today's edition, I'll bring you some dangdut songs from duet of young dangdut singer Rizky Ridho. So stay tuned.
Apa adanya, ku menyayangimu setulus hatiku. Inikah janji yang kita ucapkan dulu? Jangan kau nodai cintaku. Kini kau pergi, tinggalkan aku. Masih menunggumu. Apakah salahku? Apakah dosaku? Kau berbuat semaumu, kau tak pedulikan aku. Inikah janji-janjimu membuat sakit hati?
Kembalilah Padaku is a song that you've just listened. This song, sung by Rizky Ridho Duet Group and also their first dangdut single in Indonesian dangdut music. Kembalilah Padaku is a song composed by themselves with Bobby Sandy. The song that was released on January 2015 tells about a feeling of disappointment and a heartbreak because of the beloved one left. Although this song is a pop ballad rhythmic, but it has a powerful lyric. The music arrangement was made with an easy dangdut beat, which suitable with the vocals of the young Rizky Ridho, so makes this song is enjoyable to listen. Before we are going further to Rizky Ridho's career, let's listen to one song entitled Cinta Yang Kembali. Happy listening!
Saja dirinya menghampiriku sejujurnya ku katakan bahwa ku mencintaimu jangan kau pergi lagi dari
Kau pergi.
jangan kau pergi.
Listener, Rizky and Rido have started their steps in dangdut music world in Indonesia as one of candidates in one of dangdut talent show in 2015. Beginning from their participation to follow a dangdut audition in Medan, they made it to top 11 at dangdut talent show. Success with their first single, the two twin duo groups becomes one of new idol in dangdut music sphere. They even called as ambassador of dangdut that can attract the young generation to love dangdut music. Last May 2016, Rizky Rido were back to release their second single entitled Cinta Yang Kembali. The song they made since they were in a junior high school with Bobby Sandy tells about an old love story that is running back and bloom. This song was arranged by Hendro Sake with a light beat pop dangdut nuance. The vocals color of the young Rizky Rido become the strength of this song. Through this song, they tried to present a dangdut song that all young generation can listen to. They want to show to other young generation that dangdut is a music of Indonesia that should be preserved and developed. Listener, to conclude today's music corner that present dangdut music, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sedang Sedang Saja and Goya by Rizky Rido. See you again in other edition. Bye.
Satu idamanku, gadis sepertinya yang tua, yang sedang-sedang saja, yang sedang-sedang saja, yang sedang-sedang saja, yang sedang-sedang saja. Aku suka dia, ma, aku sayang dia, ma, kasih dan rindu. Kasih dan rinduku ini tentunya untuk si dia yang sedang-sedang saja.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. saat kenangan hadir di angan. Apalah daya perpisahan membuat luka semakin dalam.
Goyah keseimbangan diri, seiring lenyapnya di hati. Mengapa cinta saling
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.